I like the new bed more. And you, Kane?
Yeah, new one.
Yes, it's time again for Tech Plus. Yo, what a week it's been. And it's been a challenging week here in South Africa. I don't really need to explain why. We were just saying last week, once again, I think we jinxed it. We were just talking about the L word, and then boom. It's almost stage four.
It's four. Not three, not four. I was doing a calculation today, actually. I thought, okay, so my power's out from 12 till 2, 8 till 10, 4 till 6, and again from 12 till 2. So I have a solid 8 hours of no electricity.
This is ridiculous. And you know what? I don't know about you. Do you unplug your stuff before load shedding?
No.
You know that you should, Kane. You should, right?
It's a good practice, but it's like
it's very
like
annoying.
Russian roulette.
And
you
the
know?
Stuff's not made to be switched on and off all the time. So just before it happens, I run to all the plugs and I plug my stuff out. And it helps. I haven't had anything that fried.
I used to do that until one day I thought, you know, going to 56,000 plugs and unplugging it's a bit of a hassle. So I'll just switch my DV board off. And I had load shedding that day for 8 hours because I forgot to turn the TV board back.
Oh my word, you are so funny. Listen, there's actually this, I saw this meme today. It says, I'm in a very dark place. Not mentally, I'm just in South Africa. Yes, but I mean, it looks like, I see My Broadband did an article. It looks like things are really starting to come crashing down now.
Oh yeah. No, fully. And it's just like that, you know. Even in crypto now, we just had one of the cryptocurrencies called Shiba Inu. In the last 450 days, if you 450 days ago had made an investment of $8,000 into Shiba Inu, today you would have $5.2 billion. It's the fastest.
Oh, man. If know, only. Why didn't I do it?
I mean, that's what you kind of think, you know. But these things just go to show. I mean, that's 450 days to turn a profit like that is very, I think it might be one of the highest profit turning initiatives for any single individual person in the last, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, anyone in the last 450 days, if they'd done it, could have been a part of that. And that's an absolutely crazy amount of money.
But listen, is it asking too much if we ask Elon Musk to help us, bail us out? Because I don't know if you saw how rich he is right now. He's so rich. Do you know Elon Musk? Now, this is real. He's so rich, he can fund South Africa for 2 years and still be far richer than any local. He can bail out Eskom and SAA in that mix as well.
I read this interesting thing also about Jeff Bezos. It said, you know, Jeff Bezos has, I think it was something like $120 billion. And if he went and gave every single person $1 billion, all 7 billion people in the world, he would still have like $173 billion. But then I looked at this post that went quite viral. I was like, wait a minute, you can't, if you give every person on the planet, all 7 billion people $1 billion, the math doesn't work out. So I calculated it.
Yeah,
Jeff
exactly.
Bezos, if he took all his money and gave it to every single person, all 7 billion people in the world, and ran his wallet
how
to
much
zero,
are we getting
$28 each.
Oh no, how much is that in rand? It's like 300, 400 rand.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh no.
It's South Africa's grant, you know.
Yeah,
it's your,
exactly.
It's your COVID grant.
At 350, yeah. But listen, no, seriously, Elon, come on, we share a name. We basically share a name. Please help us. Please help us. I know you're on your way with those batteries, but I think we're going to need more.
Yeah, we need, just for the next three years worth of Tesla production, if you just gave South Africa all your batteries, I think we'd be pretty well off. But jeez. I mean, we don't live in a perfect world. This is load shedding times where we have lockdown, load shedding, and there was a solar flare the other day. I mean, it's all racking up.
Are you going to actually tell us about that solar flare right now?
Yeah, there was actually a solar flare, and I wanted to do this post because it happened quite a while ago. It was on the, I think it was on the 12th of October. There was a G2 solar flare that happened when the sun, let's go over it. So a significant solar flare is set to disrupt Earth's geomagnetic conditions. And that was on the 12th of October. And I wanted to make a reference to it because I don't remember anything significant happening. You know, the sky didn't crack, you know.
When was that? Just say again.
The 12th of October would have been...
Oh, that's too far
back. Quite a while ago, you know. And the thing is, a lot of people make a lot of news and stuff like that about solar flares. But realistically, one of the official announcements was from South Africa, actually, that noticed it. It said, an eruption on the sun a few days ago produced a coronal mass ejection that is now showing its effect on the Earth's magnetic field. Magnetometer readings around the world are showing moderate disruptions. A disturbance of this size is a G2 storm on the NOAA scale, which goes from 1 being minor to 5 being extreme. It can disrupt communication with spacecraft and require updates to satellite position calculations from increased drag. At high altitudes, high frequency radio communication with aircraft can be impacted, and South Africa is at a 35 degree latitude, to the forecast for local radio disruption and power systems impact would be minimal. But it goes to show that, you know, we don't necessarily see the effects of solar flares and things like that. Like, if we didn't have technology, if we didn't have radio systems, if we didn't have cell tower
or even media, we wouldn't even know about it.
You wouldn't really have noticed it.
And I'm trying to think back, but I don't think anything weird happened.
Well, if there's a big enough solar flare, it would sterilize every person on Earth that is exposed to it. You know, if it was like a G6 on the five levels of solar flares. But in this case, no, it wasn't actually such a massive thing. And I thought it was just quite interesting to bring up, to show that, you know, even though you might hear something about a solar flare, it doesn't necessarily affect, you know, physical hands and legs and things, but you might notice some cell tower reception issues, which I actually have noticed. There was times, I think about 2 weeks ago, where I was at the gym and I was like, how on earth is it possible that I don't have signal right now? I'm in the middle of the town. How could I not have signal?
So exactly.
It has effect on systems we're not so familiar with. But here's something very interesting as well. Google now lets anyone under 18 get images of themselves removed from from search results on Google. And that's actually, it's a really important thing, because I've even met a few people that they don't take any pictures of their kids. They don't take any pictures of their younger siblings or anyone under the age of 16 or 14, because they feel actually in today's age it's a right that you should have the decision whether or not you are publicly indexed online. And Google is trying to make it easier for minors to remove images of themselves from search results. They said, we know that kids and teens have to navigate some unique challenges online, especially when a picture of them is inexpectably available on the internet. Which they said in a blog post. So now minors or their guardians can fill out a form with image URLs, search result queries, and URLs of search result pages. And Google's post also noted that it doesn't mean that the images are gone from the internet forever, but rather it is removed from being findable or indexable within a Google search. Which I think is very important, because it comes at a time when companies are facing increased scrutiny over their effects on kids. We saw Facebook under a lot of pressure regarding, you know, mental health issues and kind of lack of attention to that issue and its growth. And we've spoken about Instagram's psychological effects, you know, on younger people, especially even older people, from the liking ratio. You know, you're determining your self-worth based on how many likes you receive.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big thing. So it's good to see someone like Google creating an initiative, but this is something that I feel should have been done a long time ago. This should have been released with Google, you know. Don't want to be found, fill this form out kind of thing. Google kind of only has software to ensure you are found, and it also allows some high-level coding stuff. Well, I just say high-level, it doesn't take an expert coder, but a traditional normal person with a website isn't going to know exactly how to stop their website from showing up on Google search results. You know, maybe you make a website for yourself which acts as what Facebook is, you know, a personal diary of pictures and images and information about yourself, and now you don't want it on Google. It's very hard to make sure that that doesn't happen, other than going through quite a degree of development-related items.
Yeah. Interesting indeed. Kane, did you know that this past week was quite a big milestone for South Africa? Our president was also there. It was the first hybrid Toyota car produced in South Africa, on South African soil.
a hybrid Toyota car, so both electric and combustion engine.
Exactly, yeah. The Corolla Cross is the first generation of commercial-scale hybrid electrical vehicles to come off a South African assembly line. And President Cyril Ramaphosa was there earlier this week to basically, you know, cut the ribbon.
Oh, my word. That is actually really cool.
I wonder if he went for a test drive.
I would hope so. I mean, for such a big ordeal, did he cut a ribbon?
I don't know.
Because there's jokes going around that all you need to do is to sell it. The value of how whatever big your project is determined by, you know, the ribbon being cut. If you're not cutting a ribbon in South Africa, releasing something new, then it's not, you know, it's
that's
not,
a very good
it's
point.
Not a big thing.
But anyway, he described it as an important step to South Africa. Path to transform the car making business into a green industry success story. I think now more than ever it's evident that we need to go green as soon as possible and stop relying on aging infrastructure that's bad for the environment.
Absolutely. I mean, I sent you a video today, and we might be able to touch on the story just depending on how much time it is. Maybe we'll leave it for next week. But the United Nations, or UN.org, recently released a production. And it's quite an interesting production. I received it a few minutes before I got here, where they produced a CGI film of a dinosaur on stand in a government court kind of environment, talking about the impacts of global warming and addressing that. And one thing that he mentioned, he says, you know, governments across the entire world are pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into subsidiaries and things like that for the production of coal generated power. And they made the reference that imagine the dinosaurs back in the day created subsidiaries for an asteroid to hit them. You know, it's we're creating our own disaster event whereby, you know, it could be a critical extinction level event. And we're just kind of just pouring money into that initiative. We're like, yes, you know, how quickly can we mess things up? Which is pretty alarming in my opinion. And it's weird to see someone like the UN, you know, United Nations, release such a high production value, you know, short film of 2 minutes. And I thought it was very, very interesting. But speaking of new cars, can you guess what technology creator or technology manufacturer has gone into the car business?
Is it a well-known name?
It's well-known.
Can you kind of give me an idea of what they currently manufacture? Is it far off cars or is it quite close?
It's quite far off cars.
Is it quite far off?
If I gave you a hint, I'd say you can make a phone call from it.
Okay, so it's obviously a cell phone brand. Well, I mean, Nokia's going into TVs, so could it be a Nokia car? Because that will be indestructible.
So iPhone's maker Foxconn has set its sights on Tesla with electric cars. So they manufacture iPhones. They also manufacture PlayStation 5s and Nintendo Switch. And they've stepped into the game earlier in October. The company hosted Honhai Tech Day 2021, or HHTD21, where it unveiled three new electric cars that are bound for the Far East market at first, and then for particular markets around the world later in their life cycle. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Energy of Thailand, presided over a virtual signing ceremony of a joint venture agreement for the development of electric EV production in Thailand. So Thailand, through Foxconn, the manufacturer of iPhones and PlayStations and Nintendos, is now building three types of cars, and they're calling it Voxtron. Do you want to see a picture of that car? It kind of looks like a BMW X3 or X5 with a little bit of a futuristic design. Looks a little bit like a Land Cruiser.
Yes. I'm getting that Landy
vibe.
Very
SUV style.
It's actually quite nice.
Yeah, it looks quite nice. And it says Foxconn is prepared to pour up to $2 billion into research and development and production facilities in Thailand for its new electric cars, some of which have already been penned by Italian coach building specialist Pininfarina. I don't know why cars choose such difficult.
No.
I mean, Suzuki. Can you imagine reading Suzuki for the first time? You're gonna be like
Suzuki
or Yamaha. You know,
whoa, that's a
the
big
names
one.
Are just yeah. unbelievable.
Yamaha.
At least Tesla's simple. You know, Lotus is simple. I mean, even Lamborghini's a little bit out there.
Yeah.
But reports suggest that Foxconn plans to produce approximately 50,000 electric vehicles a year in the next 2 years, and for up and then soon to accommodate up to 150,000 vehicles per annum. I don't know if we'll ever see any of those in South Africa, but I would like to test drive a car that was the same company produced my iPhone.
You know, yeah.
driving in a car with my iPhone, and I'm driving a vehicle that iPhone manufacturers.
You'll be quite an ambassador there.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, and they'll probably build in fancy features for your phone to be kind of embedded into the car.
It probably has like as a front camera.
Yeah.
A rear camera.
Yeah. Front cam as well, yeah. Like that's why not?
Who knows?
And now we go on with Tech Plus for today. And Kane, have you ever considered, you know, with everything happening in our country and the power situation, going off the grid completely?
Oh, yeah.
And what are you planning to do to go off the grid completely?
Well, I was very, like, positive about the idea at first. I thought, geez, you know, this is a great idea. Let's go off the grid. Let's get solar panels in here. Let's get a water collection unit in here. Let's make this, like, really, really proper. And then I thought, okay, but when it comes to food, I mean, I can grow some fruits and vegetables, no problemo. An apple, a lemon tree or an apple tree, I think, takes 5 years to start fruiting. So I might have to try and figure out how I'm going to get to that. And then I thought, wow, you know what? Livestock. I don't think I'm built for for keeping control of livestock. You know, I have my cow and my chicken. And I don't think I would even be cut out to cull. So.
Okay, but just the electricity.
The electricity I'd love to. Going off the grid electrically would be something I would want.
And how much do you spend on electricity per month, more or less?
Probably between 400 and 800 rand a month.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. So if you are spending 800 rand or less, so that makes you a low energy consumer. Well done.
Thank you.
Same here, actually. Okay, so if you spend 800 rand or less on electricity per month, you can expect to spend up to 83,120 rand for a solar power solution to cover your consumption. It's a very nice breakdown here by My Broadband on their website.
So for the price of 8 phones, you can go off the grid.
Yeah. It's not bad.
That's really actually not so bad.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's for life. So
I think I'm looking at it the wrong way, because 83,000, yes, it's a lot of money. What can 83,000 get you? Probably a lot. You'll have a lot of food. You probably can get a car. You can get a couple bits of technology. You'd be well off. But if you're building a house for 1.2 or 1.8 million, what is an extra 83,000?
Yeah, 83,120 rand. And don't forget 56 cents.
God, no, the deal's off. That 56 cents is too much.
Yeah. But that's for the low energy consumers. So that's okay. But what if you use more than 1,500 rand per month? How much will you be paying then? The mid range consumer, you'll be paying 95,920 rand and 57 cents.
So only 10,000 more.
And then guess how? Oof, this is bad. If you're a heavy energy consumer, that means you spend up to 2,500 rand on electricity per month. Yours is amazing. This amount is huge. You will be looking at least 132,567 rand and 87 cents off the grid.
So for the small price of saving 2,500 rand a month, you only have to drop 150k.
Yes.
Ah.
So Manetsua.
But if you're building a house, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you're building a house, and personally, if I was building a house, I was building a house maybe for, let's say, 1.82 million, I'm definitely going to get 150,000 rand worth of solar alternative energy, because you might become a high energy, high volume electricity user, but at the end of the day, you don't lose 8 hours of your day into stage four load shedding.
Exactly. In the long run, it's going to benefit you really, really well.
And I would sell. Like, if I use 800 rand electricity a month and I'm generating 2,500 rands worth of electricity a month, best believe I'm going to sell some electricity to my neighbors.
Yeah, but I think that system is just enough to cover one house. So you'll have to switch off your freezer if you want to share it with your neighbor.
Dude, I never understood how much a deep, like if you have a big, big freezer.
It's quite heavy.
It uses electricity.
That's why they say don't put it on an extension cord, because that extension cord will fry right through.
Really?
So heavy, yeah.
That's mad. That's absolutely terrifying. To be honest, that's terrifying. It is. So if you had the choice and you had the money, would you do it?
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm also on the low consumer side, the low energy consumer. So it will be 83K to come off the grid. But definitely, I mean, then you can live your life and it would just be, I mean, that 83K is forever. I mean, you probably have to service it once or twice a year. I don't know. Or, you know, but it lasts forever. You never have to worry about, you never have to plan your life around Eskom again or let anybody else determine your day.
Imagine this. There's right probably now. So many countries out there that just don't even know the struggle, you know what I mean?
No, this is very unusual. You know, I kind of say stuff like this, it kind of makes life interesting. Like last night, I was very randomly at midnight eating a small piece of milk tart and drinking coffee while looking out my studio window, admiring the view and watching the lights go out.
Really?
On the Neisner Heads. I mean, how many people can say that?
No.
It's so random, but it's just, it you makes, watch a movie it and makes you, life interesting.
Yeah, you watch a movie and the whole of New York gets a blackout and everyone's like, oh my word. Yeah, in South Africa, it's a blackout. We're like load shedding early. I mean, what's nothing new there, you know?
Yeah, but it's so nice to look at the Neisner Heads and see the lights go out, and especially when they come back on again. It's quite
does
a pretty
it,
picture.
Does it happen all at once or does it like kind of...
You know, I've noticed, that's a very good question. I've actually noticed that town and the heads, they all go off at the same time, but Brenton... It's delayed by about a minute, then they go off afterwards. Yeah. So they might be on a different switch or something.
So someone has to turn it off and then they run to the other side.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I've also noticed when it comes back on again, so that's me up at 2:30 in the morning. That's why I'm so tired today. When it comes back on, the heads go on first and then town comes on a few seconds later and then Brenton comes on a few seconds later. So they must be, I think they're on different switches or they don't want to do it all at once and trip. You know, it's like an overload.
It's probably
so
a big...
Probably like...
Yeah.
In sections, they... I don't know how they do it.
There's probably a guy sitting there. We see... you mentioned like three possible switches, but he's probably flipping 100 million.
Yes. Like... I wonder what that job is like. It's probably not just one person.
I would think it's quite... Because anything with a very specific deadline is quite stressful. I don't know if you remember in early days of Eskom, but it'd be like 1:30 to... 3:30 we have load shedding, like, and it's half an hour late, power out, you know. Guy was sleeping and he's
I sometimes wonder if they're sleeping and then somebody goes talks over the walkie talkie, hey Jeff, Neisner, you're late.
You gotta wonder. I would love to see the inside,
same,
you know,
here,
the inside scoop on that one. I'd be very interested. Do you want to hear something else that's also very interesting?
Of course.
And we're talking about Blue Origin now. Do you know Blue Origin?
Yes, yes.
Jeff Bezos' space mission.
Yes.
They have plans now. Blue Origin and Sirius Space Station announced plans for a commercial space station. So this is out of the Dubai UAE. An industry group led by Blue Origin and Sirius Space, and includes several other companies and organizations, announced plans on October 25 to cooperate on the development of a commercial space station. In a presentation associated with the 72nd International Astronautical Congress, the industry consortium announced that its intent to develop Orbital Reef, a modular space station that will be ready to host crew and payloads in the latter half of the 2020s, allowing for a transition from the International Space Station before its projected retirement at the end of the decade. So we know, and for those of you that don't, the official International Space Station that we know and have heard news about aims to retire at the end of this decade. So at the end of 2020, it plans to retire that International Space Station. I don't think that means the end of International Space Stations, but rather the lifespan of that particular space station has reached its, you know, reached its pinnacle point. Under the partnership, and listen to this is crazy, Blue Origin will develop large diameter core modules and utility systems, as well as provide launch services using its new Glenn rocket under development. That is what Blue Origin will be doing. Sirius Space, as a principal partner on the effort, will contribute an inflatable model design called Life and its Dream Chaser cargo space plane with a crewed version also planned. Several other companies and organizations will also participate on Orbital Reef. Boeing will provide a science module and its CST-100 Starliner crew vehicle, as well as handling station operations, maintenance, and engineering. Redwire Space will be responsible for microgravity research and manufacturing, as well as payload operations and deployable structures. And Genesis Engineering Solutions will provide a single-person spacecraft pod it is developing, while Arizona State University will lead a university consortium handling research and outreach. Now, that's a massive team.
Yes.
That's no,
what a team.
You know, that's no NASA and that's it, NASA only, or NASA and Russia, you know, yeah, like we're traditionally used to. The setup of this team is what we call open vertical integration, said Brent Sherwood, Senior Vice President of Advanced Development Programs at Blue Origin. Any aspect of the end-to-end service for the commercial LEO destination can be provided by at least one and, in some cases, multiple members of the team. Other companies, though, could potentially join the project prior to providing their own modules to be added to the station. So what they mean when they say adding additional modules to the space station is the space station is being developed to be modular, meaning you can actually add additional modules which serve unique purposes within the space station. And my first thought was, you know, that's wow, that's great. So maybe my company in 10, 15 years goes and adds a module on there and it's on, you know, module arm 7. But now one of the modules closer to the core of the space station breaks, you lose 7, 8, 9, 10 modules, you know, into outer space. It's terrifying, you know.
It's terrifying.
I hope it doesn't work like Lego. I hope there's like a more sophisticated system there. But just to finish off this interesting article, I don't know if you know this, but there's something called cold welding.
Cold welding.
And in space.
Oh, yes. I think you mentioned it before.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in space and you take two pieces of metal and touch them together, they will weld together. No machinery needed. It's called cold welding.
I remember. That was you. Yes, you told.
Because there's no interference. There's no atmospheric pressure. Yeah. There's nothing between those two materials, the two metal materials. So as long as they're pure enough and you touch them together, they will actually weld together.
My word.
You don't need machinery. And that's crazy, because welding here is like the only way to connect two pieces of material.
On Earth. Yeah, yeah, on Earth. Yeah.
So you don't want to go wearing metal boots and accidentally, you know, click them together.
No. Oh, my word.
You're going to be in trouble.
Oh, that's going to be scary. Listen, Kane, did you know, I was just bowled out when I saw the story this week on Business Insider. Did you know that up until very recently, I think up until last month, Japan, the government, they were still using floppy disks.
I saw that.
I was like, what?
I know.
You don't even get computers with floppy disk thingies anymore. Where do you put it in?
I would say, if I heard that South Africa is still using floppy disks,
yeah, I would believe it.
I would be like, yeah, I know, maybe they're fine, a bit lazy, or it's too much work to transfer all that data, but it's Japan.
Yeah, and you know the reason why they don't want to let go of it? Because they say it's so reliable.
Excuse me?
My floppies were never reliable. What?
I keep my 128 megabytes very safe on my floppy. You know?
That's all it could store at one stage, remember? So you could put your Word documents on it.
But you can keep 5-10 songs on there.
No, my word. So a floppy disk, I think millennials, people born after 2000, won't even know what we're talking
about.
I've
never taken a floppy disk out and put it back in. I don't even think I've used a PC with a floppy disk. And I'm 25 years young, you know?
Yeah, but you don't get floppy disk
Trays
anymore. No. So where did they just keep their old computers as well?
I buy laptops that no longer have a CD-ROM.
Yeah.
My desktop that I bought the other day when I opened it.
I believe
it,
so.
And it was flat at the front. No, there's no...
Nothing.
There's no space.
Where are you supposed to put a CD in? You can't.
No, you can't.
Okay. You probably don't have to, because you can just download it online.
Well, it's quicker.
Why would you need a CD?
Have you ever bought a game that had like 8 installed discs?
Yes.
Yeah, it's because a disc can only hold 8 gigs.
My word, I remember that. Yeah, you had Blu-ray like a series of more discs. Yeah, I actually remember that very well now. But I couldn't believe it that the Japan government are only now phasing out floppy disks, and they're getting serious about it now. They're saying, hey, if we catch you working here in government and using a floppy, you're going to pay a fine.
Imagine heading into a government job and you're like, wow, you know, I'm so excited to be in the Japanese government, technological advancements. Then you get to your PC and you're like, jeepers creepers, how the heck do I use a floppy disk?
And now you've got like this tray of floppy disks with all your work on. I mean, if it happened here in South Africa, I would totally believe it.
I would be
guys,
like,
yeah. Hey, check this USB. You know what it can do.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
but it is true. It's crazy. I mean, I can imagine a floppy disk lasts a long time compared to even a traditional DVD. And the thing about hard drives is there's actually a hard drive by itself is traditionally unreliable, because if the hard drive breaks, you're in trouble. If it's a mechanical hard drive, yeah, you might be able to replace internal things in it, but traditionally a solid state drive, if it fails, you know, say goodbye to your work, there's no recovering it. But I mean, a floppy disk, what a floppy disk's lifespan is. You could just connect 30 hard drives together and you connect it in such a way, it's called in RAID, and then all the hard drives support the same information. So if one fails within the hard drive system, you still maintain the information. The information is still kept. But I mean, relying on floppies seems like a very... they must have some very valuable information on there that they don't want to disappear.
Well, welcome to 2021, guys. I was actually checking on Takealot how much is a stick now, as we call it, a USB stick. And the prices have come down quite dramatically.
128 gig flash drive for $250.
Yeah, not bad, eh?
No, 25 tenors, bro, and you got flipping...
and that's 128 gigs, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can always get a drive for about 800 rand.
I mean,
so.
I've seen phones with a terabyte of storage and I'm like, my word.
What?
Remember your half a gig storage on your Nokia, you know, your Nokia brick
Yeah,
phone.
Even less, yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's insane. Wow, we've come a long way. Now we're going to some music. What are we coming back with, Kane?
Oh, I've got some cool stuff. So, we have three things. Number one, we have Takealot building a new distribution center in Cape Town.
Ooh.
Massive center.
Nice.
Thousands of square meters.
Ooh.
Microsoft is on the verge of unseating Apple as the world's most valuable company. We're going to take a look at their revenue in the first quarter. It's absurd. I almost fell over. And FIFA is ending their exclusive deal with EA Sports. Remember FIFA football and
yes,
EA?
Yes, they're ending it.
No, I remember EA. It's in
sports.
Game.
Yes, it's in the
that.
Game. Yeah, I remember
so
that.
So they're discontinuing their relationship.
No, why?
So I wonder what's going to happen to FIFA. That's what we're going to find out.
Oh, my word. Okay, well, that's interesting. By the way, if you're on our Facebook page, go and check out... our throwback Thursday post for today. Kids today won't understand the struggle of trying to burn a CD.
Did you
actually do that, Kane?
Yeah.
And do you remember the challenges?
Oh, yeah.
Where it would just spit out your CD halfway through the burn process and your CD's gone. You can't rewrite it.
I
have to buy a new CD.
I even remember creating Windows backup CDs and it just went horribly.
It wasn't good.
A nightmare.
Like you have one shot. And usually you do it right. It's the computer that messes you up.
Yeah. Oh, because you might have been writing on a non-rewritable.
Yes.
You had those CDs that couldn't be rewritten.
Yes.
On.
So then it's you can throw it away.
It becomes a frisbee.
Yeah. I actually put it up on my walls in my room for decorations, because I was like, I'm not going to throw that away. I paid for it.
Remember, speaking of CDs, do you remember when we used to? Well, I did at least. You know, you have a PS2 game or some DVD you've hired from V's Video, and you think, sure, this thing is scratched. Like, yeah. Out of its mind.
Mm-hmm.
Take some toothpaste and a toothbrush, give it a rub.
I've
all
heard
of a sudden
of
it.
Did
works.
It work?
It works.
It actually works.
It works.
You're telling me now.
Yeah.
It's too late.
It's too late for that one.
Yeah, I usually got the scratched ones. Wasn't very happy. And then also, I don't know if you'll remember, being a 90s kid, those video games, you had this cassette that you would put into the thing.
Oh, yes.
And then if it didn't work, you would just take it out and then blow into it.
Yeah.
And then put it back in and it would work. I remember my father doing that.
Memory card.
Yeah.
Like that.
Just blow it and it works. Nowadays, you got to restart it.
New
Can't
PC
blow
time.
It.
Yeah. Get Windows 11.
Oh, Lord. Let's not even start on Windows 11. I've heard even more horror stories. I like it a lot.
Oh, nice, actually.
Yeah, Mike.
That is too funny. So So do you want to hear about Takealot and their new distribution center? In Cape Town. And I actually know that. I mean, there was a time, I think it was maybe 5 or 7 years ago, I went and picked up my item that I bought from Takealot from the Milnerton distribution center.
Yes.
And that has become like the logistics center now. So Naspers, here's also something quite interesting about Naspers. Naspers owns quite a large portion of shares of Tencent. And Tencent is what built Epic Games and Fortnite.
Oh.
And Naspers also owns the Takealot Group.
They own everything. Don't they own DSTV as well?
They might.
And a lot of newspapers.
Technology investors in the world.
And magazines. A lot of magazines, obviously.
They're a big company, and every time you follow a small company chain, you know, who owns this, who owns that, you kind of find your way to Naspers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Takealot Group, South Africa's largest online retailer, has announced plans to build a giant new distribution center in Cape Town. The property developer Attenbury has been selected by Takealot to develop the 24,000 square meter facility in Richmond Park, which is also in Milnerton. Takealot will begin operating from the Richmond Park in August 2022. So the wheels are turning, you know, they must really get going. So construction of the facility is consisting of 22,000 square meters of warehouse space and 2,000 square meters of offices, and it has already commenced. The facility has been designed to provide Takealot with expansion options to add additional 50,000 square meters of warehousing to the initial phase, which would increase its size to more than 70,000 square meters. That is huge.
So they're still building it, actually.
They're still,
as we speak,
they're building until they open on the 22nd of August 2022.
Next year. Yeah, that's a long way.
August 2022. It's a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any small feat to develop 70,000.
No, there's a lot of building that's going on there now.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So the new Takealot DC is designed for sustainability and will feature, and this is quite nice to hear, a dedicated solar PV installation, energy-efficient lighting systems, rainwater harvesting, and water-saving zero-cape landscaping. The cross-dock facility will provide clear racking height of up to 18 meters and specialized floors. An 18-meter-high room is massive. It's absolutely huge. Also under construction at the Richmond Park is a 6,700 square meter Takealot customer collection center with space to grow this to 17,000 square meters. The customer facility will be ready in March. The new, which is located in Richmond Park, is less than a kilometer from the customer collection center in the retail-focused southern part of the park. It is also a couple of kilometers from Takealot Logistics Center in Montague Park. Oh, sorry, yeah, it was Montague, not Milnerton, that I had originally gone to. But I think this is super cool. I mean, just imagine how much profits and things someone like Takealot must be making in order to afford
an
expansion like this during a pandemic, you know?
Yep.
It's no small feat.
No, they're making a lot of money. And I see every single day they're adding more stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
To their site.
They have a Black Friday month.
Oh, that's coming up still, hey?
Yeah, which is going to have a month of specials, which in my opinion is like time to get rid of stock. I mean, I'm not going to beat around the bush on that one. It seems like the perfect opportunity.
Do you like Black Friday?
Well, I will buy anything at a discount.
Do you go out into town or do you do like the Black Friday deals online?
Yeah, no.
Because that's safe. Because a few years ago, somebody pushed me into a fridge during a Black Friday sale.
Got locked in. Self-locking fridge. Someone let you out a few days later, but luckily you had some food in there.
No, it was cool drinks, but luckily it was summertime, so I didn't really mind. But they had to come and open. People were just hectic. Everybody was just walking over each other, and then they pushed me into the fridge. I didn't even know I was in there. So that was the end of my physical Black Friday sale.
Let me put it straight.
Have you seen America?
That's even worse.
They kill each other in the shop.
Oh, yeah. No, Stampede Central. It's like going head-to-head with 15 elephants here in South Africa.
They take out the bloody doors before the shop opens.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming through
outside.
The roof.
But I'm going to be honest. If I went to a Black Friday special and there's something like a PS5 for 75% off, I'm going to climb over 10 people to get to that thing, you know? Like, and that's the reality of it. So I'd rather purchase online. But thing is, online stocks go like crazy. I mean, you see, okay, it's available. Then you get to the checkout and it's all finished already.
Yep.
So there's people there with their card memorized.
Yeah, but they camp outside the shops as well.
Huh?
They camp outside the shops.
A tent.
Yep. Yeah.
Tent erected on the sidewalk.
Can no, you imagine? They do.
Someone finds a dustbin, starts a fire. Yeah, got a bragging on top of it.
No, but sometimes it's like they have a what do you call it? A sleeping bag.
My word.
And then they sleep there until the shop opens, and then they leave their sleeping bag there.
I feel like you end up spending more money than you would have in the whole year just buying the stuff at its full price.
Is it really worth it? That's the question. Or is it like a psychological discount where you think you're paying less, but you're actually not?
That's always been my greatest fear. You know, like, was this amount and now is this amount? And you kind of look at the item and you're like, I feel like that was the amount. You know,
exactly.
I don't feel like I'm getting discounted yet. It says like 99.9% off and it's still like $800. You're like,
I'm not camping out there for a fiver and discount. I'm trying to know. It's got to be at decent discount, at least 500 rand. I'll consider it.
People even outside of Black Friday will camp outside like an iPhone store for the newest iPhone. It's not uncommon, or a new movie or a new game.
Do you remember that YouTuber who was camping outside one of the stores, and then he they opened and he got his iPhone and he dropped it accidentally?
No.
Right there on camera.
Oh my
into
word.
Pieces.
Oh my word.
He slept there for nothing.
Oh my word.
Yeah, I got his new phone.
I would quit iPhone. How's Naomi doing at the moment? You know? Nokia is looking pretty good.
Yes.
That's very, very interesting. So, did you know Microsoft is poised to unseat Apple as the world's next most valuable company? And it did it before, and then Apple kind of took it over again. It's kind of like a Formula One race, you know? It's
yes.
It's very neck and neck. So, Microsoft is in their technology sweet spot at the moment. They had another stellar quarter fueled by growth of their cloud computing business. The software giant is showing that it could have the best fundamental outlook amongst its tech peers. The company said revenue totaled, this is crazy, the company said revenue totaled $45.3 billion in the fiscal first quarter.
Yo,
imagine netting $45 billion in revenue in your first 3 months of the year.
No, man. It's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's cray-cray.
In 3 months to earn that amount is absolutely crazy. So that's obviously the reason why they're competing with someone like Apple, for example. There is logic to the positive reaction. The main drivers of the strong results are sustainable for the foreseeable future. First, there is the return to office trend. As employees start heading back to physical offices, they will need to be outfitted with the latest software from Microsoft. Even more important is the industry-wide transition towards cloud computing. Microsoft's Azure unit, which rents computing power to startups and local businesses, posted an impressive 50% growth for the first quarter. I mean, it's crazy. Ahead of the latest results, the company was valued at $2.33 trillion. Second to Apple at $2.47 trillion. Mad.
That's a lot of money. I didn't think that Microsoft would come past Apple again.
No.
So it's a lot like F1, like you said. It's like Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Those two always in the lead.
Elon
always
and
against
Jeff
each
Bezos,
other.
You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
The elitist comp.
Exactly.
Who has the most money.
Yeah.
Very, very intense. And then we're finishing off with FIFA is ending its exclusive deal with EA Sports. Now, we've known FIFA for many, many years. Computer fanatics and console fanatics who enjoy sport-related games will know EA Sports.
I didn't even play a lot of games, and I know about it. So you have to know about it.
You have to know about it, and you have to have at least played FIFA once in your life.
Yeah.
FIFA have confirmed that they will end their long-standing exclusive partnership with Electronic Arts following a failure to renew terms. Now, I think there's a little bit of bad blood in the water here, but it's hard to fully tell because they're such big corporations. No one wants to be on the receiving end of poor publicity.
Yeah.
You know, so they want to, it's in their best interest to break that relationship in a very nice way. Because, for example, if FIFA, you know, if people love FIFA and they love the FIFA EA Sports game and they hear that FIFA has now taken away the ability to play the next FIFA, you know, because they've cancelled their relationship with Electronic Arts, which is the game production company, you're going to have a couple million very, very angry gaming fans
yeah.
come fight you.
Yeah.
So it has to be done in a way that is suitable for both parties. So FIFA have confirmed that they will end their long-standing partnership, and FIFA has come out to confirm in a statement that they will look to revisit their approach pertaining to esports and the gaming industry, and they want to put a particular amount of focus on the mobile gaming industry as well. They're already in communications with potential new partners and collaborators for future FIFA games.
That's quite an iconic thing.
Yeah.
From our childhood, and now it's over.
And Electronic Arts, or EA, says that they are still looking at producing another FIFA game in that area, but not named FIFA. It's going to be named something else.
Can you just do the intro again for memories?
What do you mean?
When you open the game.
EA Sports. It's in the game. I remember that.
My brother also used to. I heard that thing so many times when he opened the game. I remember. That's a lot of good memories, actually. Yeah. Hashtag TBT.
A moment of silence for the best EA game ever made, which was Rugby 08. I don't know if you've ever played that, but that was.
Yeah, I remember.
I played 08, Rugby 2022 the other day, and I played it for all of about 4.5 minutes until I completely booted the console out the window because it was a terrible game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, no. Rugby 08 was the last and the best.
Sure, it was. But anyway, thanks, Ken. That's very interesting, and it's kind of sad as well.
Mm.
It's a bit sad for me.
Good. Let's disrupt monopolies.
You know, okay, we're wrapping up. Did you know that, you know, you get throwaway or disposable everything? You get throwaway disposable cameras. You get throwaway disposable nappies.
Disposable.
Everything is disposable. But anyway, did you know, okay, that you get disposable email addresses?
Yeah, well, wouldn't that just be an email address that can be completely gotten rid of with any traces of what was in the inbox?
Okay, but how quickly?
Yeah, true.
Okay, because, you know, sometimes you need a quick throwaway or disposable email address because you need to maybe sign up for something, for a trial. Mm. So you just need a random email address quickly. Well, you can get one on 10 Minute Mail. It gives you an email address that will enable you to get confirmation and then self-destruct in 10 minutes.
Wow.
How amazing is that? It doesn't cost you a thing. And you can check it out on 10 Minute Mail. 10, it's 10, minutemail.com. Bye-bye spam. No more spam. Just quickly. Just use it for 10 minutes or send an insult to somebody and then... And then it destructs in 10 minutes and you're untraceable. How cool is that?
Then you come back to your account the next day and it's like, please verify your email address again. And you're like, oh no.
That is a potential problem there. That is a problem there.
To log in, confirm with the code we sent to your email.
You can't get it back. And that's it for our show for today. Kane, as always, thank you so much. Have a lekker rest of your week and weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we go straight into load shedding.
Yeah.
Now we can say the L word because it's happening.
Happening, man.
It's too late now.
Have a good weekend. Thanks, Kane. Until next week. Same time, same place, eh?
Thanks. Thanks so much, Ian. Thanks to all our listeners, and we'll catch you next week.
TCS Wi-Fi keeps eRadio connected, fast, flexible, and reliable. Visit tcswifi.co.za. TCS Wi-Fi. It's internet, only better.